Welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Tori, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutforth, and this week's special guest, Rebecca Hansen. This week we're talking about buns and babies, but first we have a wee YouTube comment. This one says, "Today I found out I do indeed exist." Very profound stuff. Anyway, I've got a question for everyone who's watching or listening at home. If you're watching on YouTube, get down to the comments. And if you're watching or listening, rather, on Spotify, get to the Spotify place where you answer questions. And if it's anywhere else, here is what you do. Go to a maternity ward and just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Somehow the answer will come to us. I don't know how. I didn't think this one through. I never do. The question is, are you pregnant? Have you been pregnant? Would you be pregnant?
When will you be pregnant?
Yes! So I open it to the floor. Is anyone? Does anyone have anything to say on the topic of pregnancy?
I'm not pregnant.
I am.
Oh, wow. That's lucky that you're here then. That's
right?
Very nice.
That was
yeah.
really serendipitous.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
I do have something to confess. A little bit of background. About 9 months-ish ago, I did say to Luke we were doing an episode on pregnancy. And you are Luke's wife, correct?
I am.
Oh, so Luke, you really came prepared.
I took one for the team. I was like, we keep getting these comments saying, oh, you did an episode on this and you didn't have someone. Who is that thing? We know. We don't like it. But I thought, we're going to do an episode on pregnancy? Fine.
We really care about representation.
I feel used. I'm kidding.
Okay, so I guess the first actual question of the show, does anyone know what pregnancy is? Could someone want to let me know what that is?
This is going to be one of these questions.
I didn't do any research, by the way. I'm purely here to find out from you both.
Oh, you're
winging it. Yeah, I know nothing.
Oh, good.
No, I'm joking.
Pregnancy is going to have some weird, annoying, specific definition where anything we say, go on, Rebecca, have a shot, but anything we say, he'll be like, actually, no.
Growing a human in your belly.
Whoa, that excludes all animals and fish and birds and...
You are so right. A mammal growing...
That's no birds then. Do birds not get pregnant?
Birds famously grow... like lay eggs.
That's the definition of a mammal, no? Like, it's warm-blooded and we have womb.
Oh gosh, so mammals are the mammary glands because there are two mammals, I think, that lay eggs still.
Interesting.
I'm sorry.
Platypus, I think.
Yeah, and echidna.
But... Is it not pregnant when a bird is, like, making a fertilized egg?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Look, if you want the definition of pregnancy, because there's one thing that you missed there as well, which is it doesn't need to be in the uterus. It could be elsewhere in the body as well.
Like in a seahorse. Sorry. Let me clarify.
Would you like to elaborate?
Not me growing my baby in a seahorse. What I mean is, in seahorses, the male gets pregnant, and so I'm guessing the area of where the pregnancy happens in the male might not be called the uterus.
Maybe I didn't look up seahorse pregnancy.
I also think we should explore the possibility of surrogate seahorse parents, but that's a different topic for a different day.
No, I mean ectopic pregnancies. Are a thing.
Oh.
So the definition that I've got is pregnancy is a state of having implanted products of conception located either in the uterus or elsewhere in the body.
Has to be in the body though.
Well, yeah.
Good.
Otherwise it's like an egg. So as you may or may not be aware, during pregnancy, a lot of changes happen with the body. That's what we're going to be talking about mostly today because it's insane, I think. The things that happen. I mean, you have firsthand experience.
It is insane. I feel completely not in control of anything, but it's quite liberating and fun and exciting to watch.
I was going to say, I feel like when you're pregnant, you do get away with a lot of things. Like, you could just kind of do something and be like, but I'm pregnant.
I feel like I haven't used the pregnancy card nearly enough.
You really haven't.
I really
like,
haven't.
You could have done it so much more.
I know.
Second kid, I guess.
Yeah.
So, speaking of pregnancy, you go through a lot of changes, kind of like puberty, except nothing like that at all. But you do have changes happen in your body. Now, there are like really, really massive physiological differences between a pregnant person and a non-pregnant person. Like, you are physiologically right now incredibly different from what you would normally be. But before we get into all of that sort of stuff, how about we talk about the duration? Do either of you know? I don't know. I'm asking the question the way I normally would. I know you both know how long pregnancy lasts. How long does pregnancy last? Would anyone like to give it a go?
Well, you are technically full term from 37 weeks to, like, they don't like you to go past 42, and the average is 40 plus 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about this is that that's the language that I knew, that I understood. And then when you start looking at science papers, they start saying like 266 days.
Oh, yeah, that's too complicated.
I know. Yeah, you're like, honestly, I can't say anything about what you just said there because it is spot on. Yeah, I think 37 and 6/7 of a week. That is early term, and then 39 to 40 is full term, and then after that is late term. And you're right, after 42 weeks is kind of the point where they're like, no, you have it before, please.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the actual sort of duration, from implantation of a fertilized ovum to birth, that's apparently 266 days. That's roughly what that would be. Obviously, there's a little bit of wiggle room here and there. And I think, 280 days is the sort of, is the full length of pregnancy if you measure it from the last period, essentially. And I think that's on average, which means that by that time, half of everyone who is pregnant will have delivered their child by that point, 280 days after the last period. So that's how long it takes, you know, about 40 weeks, 266 days if you want to be very specific. But how does it start? What do you guys know about fertilization, like the sort of cellular start of pregnancy? So it's been fertilized, the egg is fertilized. What happens after that?
Implantation.
But not for a few days afterwards. An implantation often happens around about the time that your period is due. And then you can sometimes have an implantation bleed as well, which then makes it really complicated because you're just like, oh man, my period started. And then it's like, wait, no, it stopped.
That sounds so stressful. I feel really bad saying this. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about any of that ever.
Well, you kind of do have to worry about it if you, even as a male, you're trying to have a baby. You still have to go like, oh no, and worry about it, but you don't worry about it personally.
Yeah, but it would be with a surrogate. For me.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm very removed.
Outsourcing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's someone else's job.
You guys should have thought about that. Just pass it off to someone else. No, but yeah, you're so spot on. I feel like I'm testing you right now. Like, I feel like that's what I'm doing.
I'm definitely going to fail lots of the questions. But
you're passing so well. Like, the reason that I'm like, oh, it feels like I'm testing you is because you're answering them so, like, you've studied, which, yeah, makes sense.
You feel like you're testing her. I feel like there's two Sci Guys hosts.
No, it's going to go downhill from here. I know, like, a fair amount, but then there's definitely other bits where I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I should maybe have known that.
Yeah, it's mostly in the past now. It's fine. If you didn't need to know it then.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. So it's fertilized, and then there's implantation. So basically, the fertilized egg, like, sort of divides a bit. That's called a blastocyst. That then implants into the endometrium, like the kind of, like, you know, internal wall of where, Luke?
The uterus.
Yes, very good.
Sorry, why the blastocyst sounds like a Pokemon?
It does. It does. I could break it down for you. I won't.
The blastocyst, please don't. We need that. It's nearly a whole baby now.
It's way past the blastocyst phase.
You're so right, because
it's evolved into the next level of Pokemon. Fantastic.
It becomes, I think, an embryo roughly around that time that it's sort of implanting, and then once it's implanted, you get human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG. It's a hormone that sort of allows you to be pregnant. It's the sort of pregnancy hormone. And once that's sort of secreted, then the blastocyst starts, forming a bunch of different layers, like outside sort of layers, I think, sort of thing. And then it becomes an embryo, right? And once the embryo sort of starts growing a bunch of organs after about, I think, 8 weeks or 10 weeks, based on sort of the start of gestation, it is then a fetus. And it stays a fetus until it's born. So you've got blastocyst, and then very quickly it becomes an embryo. And then the embryo, it's an embryo for a few weeks, like 8 weeks, 10 weeks. and then it's a fetus until it's born.
Mm-hmm. And how long till it's ready for battle?
Well, Luke, that really depends on...
who you're battling, what their XP is.
Well, if you play... that kind of battle, okay. Well, if you play, like, you know, tavern music, like, you know, they say playing Mozart makes children smarter.
Yeah, we haven't done that at all.
Yeah. Dumb baby for us.
Well, just blast a speaker right up against your tummy right now.
Yeah.
If you put in, like, more sound, I think it averages out, right?
High volume makes up for all the lack of Mozart.
So that's the sort of cellular aspect of it. It's actually very straightforward, right? Like, I mean, there's obviously, like, you know, hormones and stuff going on there, but really fundamentally when it comes down to it, it is just a cell dividing a lot and then I guess making a whole human, which kind of complex, but really just things splitting and becoming more specific as they do so. But the next part is something that we usually do when it comes to health conditions. It's symptoms and diagnosis. But I promise you, that is like, there are symptoms and diagnostic criteria for pregnancy. Like, which is not, you wouldn't think.
It sounds like an illness.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like an illness.
Yeah.
But when you think about it medically, it does make sense to kind of treat it as something you diagnose, because it is something that's natural, it's something that happens. You do need to know when someone is pregnant. It is useful to know when someone's pregnant. So, I mean, for the both of you, what are some of the sort of outward sort of signs or symptoms?
Like super early on?
Yeah, whenever you want.
Whenever you want. Okay, a baby coming out of you.
Right, well, that's...
the slightly later stage.
That's the last symptom.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that that's kind of like...
Hey, you said whenever you want.
It's a bit late for it. It's a bit late for it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, define your terms.
Earlier than that.
The earliest stage... Like, the earliest sign for me was definitely, like, the sorest breasts ever.
Yeah, that's...
Like, unbelievably painful.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And do you know, either you know why that happens?
I mean, I'm assuming it's hormone fluctuations, but I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, that, and then also, I think there's a bit more sort of growth and development there to accommodate for, what's the word?
Milk.
Milk, lactation, nursing, all of that sort of thing. Yeah. Missed period and morning sickness. I don't know if you went through morning sickness much at all, Rebecca, but it's, like, I've got a lot here on it because, very interesting, it's one of the most sort of common things with pregnancy.
Yeah, I was quite lucky that I didn't ever throw up. I didn't have specific morning sickness, but I was more just nauseous for like a solid
all
2 months.
All the time, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, really?
Which, and one of my friends with her first baby, she had morning sickness. And then with her second, she just had the constant nausea. And she said she preferred the morning sickness.
Well,
it just, you kind of get it out the way and then she was fine. Whereas, I mean, neither of them are ideal. But no, I definitely had two months of feeling just really nauseous. Like, I only wanted like plain toast and apples and soya yogurt. That was kind of all I ate.
It's insane. It is mental that pregnancy is such an ordeal, and then you don't get a break at the end of it. So much as
no.
<it's> like,
you've made it sound, when you said that your friend like preferred the morning sickness over the nausea, you made it sound like morning sickness is like a tactical chunder.
Oh yeah. It's not. It's not a choice.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely, we'll get into how that sort of works later on, because yeah, I mean, you're very right, it like, it is so not a choice. You know, some other sort of signs would be fetal heartbeat, which you can hear with a stethoscope from between the 16th and the 20th week of pregnancy, which is insane.
Pretty early.
Yeah, it's really early. You can just like stick a little thing and like you can hear. It's mental. Ultrasound, obviously. Do we know how ultrasound works? Anyone?
We've done enough of them.
And that's not even counting the ones that you had to do.
Just me at home, ultrasounding everything. It's sound. They use sound. They fire sound outwards and it bounces back. And then the time it takes to bounce back tells you how deep it had to go in order to bounce back, which makes a sort of shape on the screen. Like radar almost, but like through a belly.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, radar is sound, right?
Yeah.
Or is that sonar is sound?
Sonar. Yes.
Yeah, radar is radio.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the same the same principle regardless. But yeah, it's literally just firing sound in and seeing when it reflects. And interestingly, it's not something that you only do for pregnancies. I've had a number of ultrasounds done. Well, two.
Mm.
Once for... you know what? I'm not going to say.
I don't know. I probably had the same one as me. Did you have an ultrasound on your ball, Corey?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
High five. Ball ultrasound.
It was like, okay, right. It was one of those things. It was one of those things. You call up 111, and I was in and out of sort of hospitals for a bit because they could not figure out what was going on. Great tangent, by the way. They could not figure out what was going on. And then I go in one day, and just this Italian doctor just randomly starts groping me, and I'm like, oh, great, yeah. I mean, this was to be expected, but now, you know, I'm having this Italian man like feel me up, and you know, he's not even that attractive. Like, it would have been better if he was a hot doctor, but no. Jesus Christ.
Well, NHS needs to hire more hot doctors.
Do you know what? The annoying thing was, Luke, that there was a very good-looking doctor there, and switched to the other one.
You should have just asked him if he wanted to feel your ball.
Yeah, I did. He did, but it wasn't quite the same.
Not for medical purposes.
No!
Just for recreational purposes.
That harassment of NHS staff.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh gosh. Moving on. ultrasound, just using sound waves to kind of get a visual image of something, in this case a fetus. Fetal movements, and that's not moving your feet. The fetus. Well, it could be the fetus moving its feet. You know, yeah. Actually, probably
they do
is.
Like to do that.
Yeah. God, she keeps kicking me. Like I poke her, and she kicks back. It's well, good fun.
There you go. That's your. Just...
Sorry, when I say she, we're having a girl, not my wife. Yeah. Not my wife just keeps
pokes
kicking
my belly, and I just kick it.
Just kick it, yeah.
Like a horse.
To be fair, though, I mean, if I was sitting in like the best place of my life ever, you know, all my needs met. No stress whatsoever, and suddenly someone just starts jabbing at me. Yeah, I'm gonna kick him too. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Can you elaborate at all on the kicking, on the movements?
Yeah, it's strange. I think like I probably started feeling them about 24 weeks, mm-hmm. And they start very much as like just the tiniest little rumble. You're not even sure if it's just gas or just something else happening inside your tummy, and then there starts to become like a bit more of a routine to them, especially like once you've eaten, that's when they kind of wake up a bit and they're like, "Ooh, nutrients, yes please." And then obviously, you know, as they grow, the less amniotic fluid that there is surrounding them, so the more the less space they have, so the more you're going to feel every single movement. And so now, yeah, you look down at my tummy and you can literally see it just go bloop.
like it's one of those things that I think, you know, it's only normal because it is normal. When you if you were to tell people this, if they didn't know what pregnancy was at all, it would sound very strange.
Honestly,
you know?
It's still strange. Like it's like it's like Alien.
Yeah.
Like the way that you see her like rippling around in there, and like sometimes you have your hand on and she literally like it's like she's kicked out with all four limbs at the same time, but she's dancing. It's really weird. Also, I just wanted to say on the ultrasound thing as well, because it's kind of relevant here. One thing which I didn't know and didn't expect is that, and you were also talking about amniotic fluid, Rebecca, is that they wee into the amniotic fluid. They don't. It doesn't go out through the
umbilical cord.
No, umbilical cord and through to the placenta. They just wee into the amniotic fluid, right? And so we were having an ultrasound, and they're like, and there's the bladder. And then as we're looking at the bladder, it just empties. And they're like, oh, and she's just had a big wee. And I found that so fascinating because I didn't know that at all.
Camera shy, clearly.
So they drink the amniotic fluid and wee in it.
Absolutely mental. Like, I just, honestly, pregnancy is one of those things that, again, everyone is aware of. And most people will kind of experience either firsthand or kind of secondhand at some point in their life. But when you start looking into it, it's very insane. It's very crazy, every single thing that happens. And we're all just fine with it. We all just pretend that it's very normal. But something that isn't normal is how you test for pregnancy. So I've got some... I mean, if you can guess this, I'd be very surprised and... very pleased. Can you think of any very strange way to test for pregnancy?
Piss on a frog?
Yeah, there is something about that, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's real.
It is real, yeah. Yeah, piss on a frog, yeah. I mean, do you know why, maybe?
Well, there's something in your pee that... I think it changes the colour of the frog.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
It makes the frog... What does it do?
So, gosh, man. And it's not just frogs. You can do something similar.
You can
similar.
Piss on anything.
Well, I mean, you can do something similar with mice and rats and rabbits, I think. But yeah, I think it's the claw-toed tree toad. Wow, that is a mouthful of a name. The South African claw-toed tree toad. Essentially, if you, I think, inject it with some urine from someone who's pregnant, they will spontaneously start producing eggs. I think within a few hours after being injected.
Who discovered this? Who decided to experiment with this?
Really? I mean, I don't know. Do you not just go about pissing on frogs? I thought that was just a thing that people did.
No, well, especially not injecting them with
yeah, no.
Pee.
I know. Okay, so I think that it probably was discovered just through like the frogs getting into the urine. Do you know what I mean? In the sense that like I don't think you need to inject them with it. It just makes it more okay. potent. Yeah. So basically, the way that it works is there is a hormone that is sort of super in quite high amounts when you're pregnant, right? And that is the one I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. The
yeah.
What was it called again?
Chorionic gonadotropin, or CHCG. There we go.
HCG.
Yeah, so you've got that in pretty big amounts in your body when you're pregnant. And funnily enough, with sort of the way that evolution works, a lot of animals will respond to similar hormones, or they have similar hormones in their sort of bodies that do the same or sometimes very different things. In this instance, this hormone will cause just a lot of animals to spontaneously sort of like start ovulating or producing eggs or kind of go into a sort of pregnancy-like state, depending on, you know, what kind of animal they are. So yeah, it's not pseudoscience. You can inject a toad with urine and find out whether or not you're pregnant.
There are better ways.
Especially now.
Well, you say that, but animals they're not used anymore.
Oh.
I mean, like, okay, right. We would not use them here. But if you think about it.
Sure.
If you're in South Africa and, you know, you don't have a shop nearby, but there is a claw-toed tree toad, are you going to go to the shop to get a pregnancy test or just pee on a toad? You know what I mean? You can just pee on a toad in a bucket and...
It's free.
It is free, and it is reusable as well. That's a key point. No, but
reduce, reuse, recycle. The same claw toad, tree toad.
Pregnancy tests can be expensive.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
They are, aren't they? And you know, the worst thing, I think, about them is the pregnancy test that you pay for, you know, the digital ones.
I know, this is a scandal.
Yeah, go
this
for
is
it.
Such an amazing Twitter thread. So, this guy decided to, like, tear down a pregnancy test. And basically what he found inside was a normal, cheap pregnancy test rather than like you pay like £20 for an expensive pregnancy test. And inside is just a normal, cheap strip test. And then the actual pregnancy test is just a little device that shines a light on that pregnancy test and reads it for you. So you're paying like £20 for a device to just do your job for you and then just say whether you're pregnant or not. Now, obviously, there's a bit more, like, you can tell how pregnant somebody is within a certain range. Like, we found out when ours said 2 to 3 weeks, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think fundamentally it's a different technology. I think it's just that it's not?
No, it's not. I'm agreeing with you. No, it's not a different technology.
Yeah,
it's just
that it can read it with a bit more accuracy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's insane, like, sort of almost scandalous.
Yeah.
The worst thing about it as well is that they could be reusable, but they're not.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of plastic.
So you could just replace the strip.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll do that again. So you could just replace the strip and then that entire, basically a computer. I think that the thread said something like the computer in this is like as powerful as the one we used to land on the moon or something stupid like that.
Yeah, which isn't very powerful. Like the calculators you had in school were more powerful than the computers that were used to land on the moon. Yeah, I think the thing is, I think computing power is one of those metrics that's just, it's very difficult to wrap your head around what it means because it doesn't necessarily take a lot of computing power to get someone to the moon. It's just doing a lot of calculations on like physics and flight and stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, no, I mean, the computing power for a pregnancy test is probably quite good because we're really good with computers right now, but it doesn't need to be that great. I mean, I think the way that it works is quite literally that it is just reading how dark the thing is, which isn't that advanced technologically. Do you know what I mean?
And also, if you're trying to get pregnant, you buy a lot of these things. If you could buy, they could sell you one of those. Okay, fine, sell it to me for £30 and allow me to replace the strip inside.
Yeah.
Rather than, if you're trying to get pregnant for like months or a year, you're going to buy loads of those things, constantly thinking, oh, maybe today's the day. And then you've wasted a bunch of plastic, a bunch of like silicon and computer.
Mm. When and, you money. Could,
and money. And money, yeah. More crucially, yeah.
And as we all know, when you're pregnant, money is something that is always going to be fine. There's never going to be someone, you know, at the end of the pregnancy who's going to cost a lot of money.
No, baby stuff is totally cheap.
Exactly. And so we should charge pregnant people as much as possible for everything because they can.
Yeah, the amount of stuff where like we've went and bought like a cabinet that like if this was a cabinet for a different purpose, this would be like 20, 30, 40 yeah. quid from IKEA. And they're like, £150, please.
Because it says baby in front of it. You're like, pass.
Yeah, I mean, some things, ridiculous. Cabinet, ridiculous. When it gets to prams and stuff, you know, like...
Yes, you don't want to mess around with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, they need to be expensive. But I always forget how expensive they are until mm-hmm. I look. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least you can reuse them.
You can borrow ours, Corey, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I, you know, I just like being pushed around, look. I want to use my little leggies.
It only goes up to 5 years old, I'm afraid.
I'm a multiple of five.
But, you're not. You're actually not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. I don't know how old I am. anyway, this I will be a multiple of five at some point once this episode is out. So it could be true at some point when someone is watching this. Anyways, so how sort of accurate do you think pregnancy tests are? The sort of, not the frogs, the normal ones.
You have anything on this, Becca?
I mean, I'd say that they are fairly accurate. Like the, you know, the clear blue ones that say 2 to 3 weeks or whatever. That mm-hmm. was pretty bang on for us.
What I've heard is that they're accurate in one direction and not accurate in another direction. So if it says you're pregnant, you almost certainly are pregnant. But if it says you're not pregnant, you very much could still be pregnant.
Yeah, and it depends when you took it. Because if the blastocyst hasn't implanted yet, then mm-hmm. Then you won't have that hormone spike that it picks up. So there's still time.
Mm.
Yeah, no, spot on. It's you know, at the start of pregnancy, you could be too early for the pregnancy test to work. But also, late pregnancy is where you get a lot of false negatives as well, as the sort of hormone levels, well, those hormones start to sort of drop. So, you know, it's not necessarily hitting the point of showing up on the test, because the test isn't, you know, when you think about it, trying to figure out if someone's pregnant using a test, it seems like it's really simple, but it actually isn't. It's like you've got to find something that is easily extractable, that is easily measurable, that exists in such higher quantities in someone who's pregnant compared to someone who isn't pregnant that it could be used as a clear sort of dividing line, and then find a way to make all of that sort of, you know, easy to use. And in this sense, yeah, so using these hormones as a sort of marker, your false negatives are, you know, more likely towards the late pregnancy, and then obviously before you've started producing those hormones in great amounts. But generally the tests are like sort of 95% accurate, but the issue being that the biggest inaccuracy comes from people reading them wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why that's the good side of the sort of digital ones, in that it's not any more accurate. It's the exact same test. It's just, it removes a bit of human error there. So that's the upside to getting the sort of the digital ones. And interestingly, I don't know if you know how they work, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, if you do know how they work, then you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they're similar to COVID tests, like it's the same sort of, I think it's the same sort of principle.
Like a PCR test.
No, so the PCR test is, PCR is something you can really only do in a lab. You need like a whole big machine, like a PCR machine. Okay. And it's expensive and it takes ages and it involves heating things up and cooling them down. No, I mean like the rapid test, mm-hmm. it's literally just putting stuff onto a media and just letting it kind of run up. And if it gets stopped at that sort of test line, then you know the thing is there. And I'm pretty sure what it does is there's just something there. I think maybe it has gold in it. I don't know. There's something there on the strip that hormone gets stuck on. And it kind of, you know, it shows up on the strip, and mm-hmm. then you read that, which would be why you'd be able to sort of tell how far along someone is generally based on the sort of the relative quantity of it. Because if there's more, then you're going to get a darker sort of strip in the same sense as COVID tests.
Where you're like, yeah, you're at the end of it, but that faint line is still showing off and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
I loved in COVID all the people who, like, women would text men a picture of their COVID test and then the men would be like, why are you telling me? It's not mine. And they'd be like, it's a COVID test. I've got COVID, you idiot. But also, why are you such a dick? It might be yours.
Congratulations is generally what one would say. Although, being fair, saying congratulations to a positive COVID test is not the best thing.
You passed.
I think what we need to do as a society at this point is figure out a response to that works for both COVID tests and pregnancy tests.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Fascinating news. Wow. The next few weeks are going to be interesting for you.
Speak to your doctor soon.
any Rebecca?
Oh, you guys are too quick.
The pregnancy tests are usually pretty accurate. And again, you can't figure out anything about the pregnancy from these tests. I mean, you're not going to get the test that says, oh, you know, this is what's going on in your pregnancy. All it tells you is that there is placental tissue sort of there.
Bopping around.
That's what it's measuring, right? And so that would be the sort of test. If you don't want to use animals, you can use a strip. If you don't want to use the strip, you could use the strip inside of a big plastic casing that makes you feel like it's doing a better job. But is it really? Who knows? And that would be sort of everything before we get onto the physiological changes. But I think first, maybe an ad? Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
It is, and this time it's ringing for Incogni, who are sponsoring the show this week.
Luke, pray tell. What is it, Incogni?
So let me tell you a story. There's all these naughty people on the internet who like to scrape your data. They drag your data in, they collect it like a little spider, and they sell it to people who want to do things to you sometimes.
But that data, it is for me. It is about me. It is my data.
These naughty boys don't care about that. They might be selling this information to people who decide whether you can get a loan, who decide whether you get insurance for something, who want to market things to you.
I hate being marketed to. I refuse to be advertised to, and you know that.
Even more seriously, it can also end up in the hands of scammers, people who will call you up out of nowhere, people who will try and steal your identity, take out loans in your name. This is not a good time.
It's not. My identity is bad enough with just me using it. I don't need anyone else getting their grubby little mitts on it.
The good news is that you can contact these data brokers and you can say, stop, sir, stop doing that and delete everything you have on me. But that's very difficult. There's a lot of them, and you might not even know where to go.
That's true, Luke. I don't even know what a data broker is.
Well, guess who does know what a data broker is?
You do?
Incogni!
So, Luke, are you telling me that Incogni can do all of this hard work for me? Contact those data brokers and say, hands off of Corey's stuff.
Exactly. Incogni know who to contact, what they need to file in order to get these guys to stop collecting data on you and to delete what they already have. And they also show you how risky each of these data brokers might be. So in my case, I've done this.
You've broke data? Luke, you naughty boy.
No, my data was broke by somebody else. So I can see on my dashboard that Incogni have sent 43 requests to different data brokers for me on my behalf. I didn't have to do anything. There's 15 still going and there's 28 that have been completed, which means that they've either removed my data or they've agreed to stop collecting in the future, which I think is very nice because I get so many spam calls and I have no idea where they get my number from. It might be from this.
So you're telling me that Incogni are going to stop me from giving your number to random people I meet on the street?
No, Corey, that's a personal issue. We need to fight it out between us for that one. But for everybody else, for all these other naughty boys that aren't Corey, Incogni can help with this. So you can go to incogni.com/SciGuys and you can get 60% off the service. Get these data brokers out of your life. Get your life a little bit safer and hopefully not have these creepy little men sneaking around in your details.
Luke, you must be joking me. Are you telling me that if I go to incogni.com/SciGuys, I can get 60% off my annual subscription to Incogni?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you exactly what you just said.
Thanks, Incogni.
Yeah, thank you very much to Incogni for sponsoring the show, and let's get back to the podcast.
I want to talk about Incogni some more.
No.
Okay.
Whose fault is this?
Whose fault is this? There we go. She got one.
Oh my God.
Very late, but very good. I think we should come back with that.
I did actually think of it like 2 seconds after I went, I don't have one, and then I went, no, I do.
So, physiological changes. Do you know anything about any? I mean, I can't use my standard script in my head for asking questions because of course you know about something about this. It's happening to you. But can you give any examples of any sort of physiological changes, you know, to do with, say, metabolism, with your heart, lungs, GI tract, all of that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you do definitely kind of feel as though your organs are all kind of shifting and squishing a little bit, especially with just kind of being out of breath slightly quicker. As somebody who, like, is quite fit, I would definitely notice, like, oh gosh, I'm slightly more out of breath now than I would normally be just walking briskly down the street. But my lungs are slightly more squished than they would normally be.
That makes so much sense. So I've got some numbers here for you. During pregnancy, do you know what your diaphragm is?
It's the thing that expands and contracts your lungs.
Yeah, it's the sort of muscly thing that makes you breathe. Yeah. And so 5% decrease in total lung capacity because the diaphragm moves up to accommodate, you know, the baby you're growing in there. And then lots of different changes happen, right? So the tidal volume increases by about 30 to 40%, which, look, I can tell you what all these things mean, and I did look up what they meant. I forgot to write them in my notes. But basically, the overall sort of thing to take away from this is that a lot of numbers shift up and down, but overall, you know, your breathing is just slightly harder. You know, you've got to put in a little bit more effort to get the same sort of volumes that you'd normally get. You know, like you do have a sort of consistent rate in terms of like how much sort of oxygen you're getting in. Your respiratory rate is sort of the same as when you're not pregnant, but you've got to kind of work harder to breathe the same, if that makes sense, which would be why you sort of feel out of breath. I mean, on top of that,
needing to pee.
Yeah. Well, bladder gets squashed as well. Honestly, like, it makes sense, but everything just kind of has to move out the way. But on top of that, your red blood cell count increases by like 20 to 30%, while your plasma, which is kind of like, you know, the liquid that everything's sort of dissolved in, increases by 45 to 55%. Yeah. So you've got a lot more blood right now, which is why you have the pregnancy glow, because I'm not even joking, there's more blood. It makes you glow. But on top of that, your white blood cell count increases as well. And your platelets, which kind of what cause clotting, those kind of decrease a little bit because there's more plasma. Mm. But it's usually within kind of normal limits. But yeah, I mean, you've got way more blood in you. Well, way more blood cells in you, which makes sense because there's a whole sort of, you know, baby. Go on.
The other one we've been learning about recently is about relaxin, which is like this chemical that makes all your joints, is it your joints and muscles, like just super loosey and like you just feel all flexible.
It's like to prepare you for labor and prepare everything to kind of open up more to let the little being out.
With its gigantic head.
Just small enough.
But that is why you need to be quite careful with like not overstretching during pregnancy and things like that. And I've been very lucky that I haven't thus far had sore hips, but a lot of people can because their hips start to move outwards. And you can kind of wrap a scarf to hold it all in.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because that was the next thing I was going to start talking about, that it's like your sort of skeleton and your skin and everything. Like, so, yeah, your hips widening, but also your center of gravity is now sort of totally different and relatively suddenly, right? Like, essentially, like it can have sort of, I say, neck problems. You've got your neck is more strained, your lower back is more strained because, I mean, you're carrying around, you know, I mean, you can hold a baby for a bit, right? And even a newborn is not that heavy, but you hold a baby for a while and you're like, okay, I'm feeling the weight, right? You don't get to put it down.
Nope.
If you're pregnant. And it's not in the, like, the sort of easiest. When you're carrying something, would you usually carry it kind of like just around your middle?
All day.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes so much sense. Your center of gravity shift. Carpal tunnel syndrome as well, apparently, is really common because of compression of nerves and whatnot as well. And then there's more estrogen in your body, which means that, have you heard of spider angiomata?
No.
To my knowledge, it's like sort of blood vessels being sort of visible on your skin in a sort of spider web pattern because, well, there's so much more blood in you. And then red palms as well, which is, I think, was it palmar erythema? Erythema? I think your palms are
pretty.
Yeah, I think they're fine. Yeah.
There's some red. There's more red on you than there is on me. Yeah. So.
Oh, you've got maybe a lot you got red a little on bit. You. Just mostly around on my head. This area. lots of these different, like, I mean, the more and more I read about this, just so much changes. There's like, it could be hyperpigmentation in your face and a whole bunch of other places. Like, there is so much going on with pregnancy. I don't think people really kind of pay enough attention to the fact that it is a full body thing. Like, everything is affected in part because of the sort of hormonal changes, but then there are such physical changes that happen. Yeah, we know about the sort of organs moving out the way, as you're saying, but like decreased lung capacity, more blood in your body, all of that sort of stuff. It's insane. I mean, your heart is just beating, like, sort of the output of your heart is just higher. Like, the amount of sort of, I think, the blood that you're forcing through your body is higher than normal. I think it increases by 30-60% with most of that happening within the first 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, in 8 weeks it goes up by 20% your cardiac output. Yeah. It's mental. But another thing I want to mention is teeth and gums. So I think in the UK, correct me if I'm wrong, you would get free dentistry? Yeah, free dental treatment whilst pregnant.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely had that in the first stage. I can't remember how many weeks along I was. I think it was just after 3 months. And then, yeah, I got a tooth infection, bleeding gums, like, and my oral hygiene is pretty good. And so I was like, what is happening? So I had gone to the dentist and thankfully got free antibiotics.
Really? Oh my gosh. Great. No, that makes so much sense because I'd never understood why you get free sort of dental treatment whilst pregnant. But there's this thing called pregnancy gingivitis or pregnancy gum disease. Yeah, do you know anything about it?
No, well, he just said that that's what it is. He was just like, oh, don't worry, like, this is entirely common.
Yeah.
Here's your antibiotics. Yeah. You'll be fine. That's great.
It's not like an increase of plaque or anything. Like, your dental hygiene is probably, you know, as good as it normally is. It's just you're way more sensitive to all of this sort of stuff. And as well, because you're sort of loosening up in, like, you know, it's a holistic thing as well. It's not just, you know, it's not sort of centralized. So your gums can become kind of looser as well, which can give you more tooth problems because you want your teeth to be pretty well anchored and you don't want, you know, stuff getting in around your teeth, like, you know, and so your gums can be looser and then that causes more sort of a higher risk of tooth problems and, yeah, just sensitivity to sort of normal amounts of plaque and everything like that can lead to bleeding, inflammation, all of that sort of thing. So I guess morning sickness we should move on to now.
I'll just speak for you. Rebecca, I've had this really interesting experience of when people are asking me, how is Rebecca doing? I've been saying, you've had a really easy pregnancy. And then I go, oh, hang on, that makes it sound like I'm just like saying nonsense for my wife or I found it really easy. And I say, that's your words, right? You've said, like, compared to everything you read and compared to other people you knew, you've like been having a really like all right time, other than like you had the bits of nausea. Yeah, I'll let you talk now.
Yeah, I've been unbelievably lucky, like, especially energy level wise. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like my energy levels have been pretty much the same as always.
I think I forget that you're pregnant. I'm not gonna lie.
I sometimes forget that she's pregnant. I roll over and I'm like, oh yeah.
You had a birthday party the other day, and someone pointed out you were in heels the entire night, which. Insane.
We're 35 weeks pregnant, and you gotta keep those glutes active. I've been very lucky with I've not experienced pain. I've not my energy levels haven't totally dipped. I feel fine. It was probably the first 3 months were probably the hardest of just like nausea, then like tooth infection, and obviously then you're just. You're worried and nervous and it's all very new and you want things to go well. And so they were probably the hardest. And then after that, it's kind of been fine and it's been really fun.
Wow. Look at that. Get pregnant, kids. Go out there and do it. It's easy. Rebecca's.
it's also not.
No, but I mean, that's really interesting to hear because, you know, yeah, I feel like when you look up pregnancy, because obviously I'm trying to find more sort of science stuff, but then I am getting a lot of the sort of, you know, prospective parents things that are coming up. And there are so many horror stories that just get thrown in your face. And I feel like it's not a time where you want to be stressed out because there's already enough stress going on. But yeah, I mean, like, the thing is as well that a lot of these things that feel very stressful are quite common as well. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, tooth infection and sort of tooth problems, not trying to minimize it at all, probably very stressful at the time, almost definitely very stressful at the time. But I imagine, and I don't want to speak for you, but I imagine, you know, it might have been somewhat sort of comforting for the dentist to be like, yeah, you're good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. For him to be like, this is entirely normal.
Yeah. I think the way that I would look at it is that pregnancy is insane, and lots of insane things happen, and there are lots of stressful things that happen, but they mostly happen to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
So for example, like morning sickness, over 70% of pregnancies, and it can happen at any time of the day. Don't know why it's called morning sickness, probably because it most commonly happens in the morning, but can happen any time of day. Nausea and vomiting are the two sort of main things there. And it's usually fine. It's usually done by, finished by 14 to 16 weeks, but can carry on past the 20th week in about 10 to 20% of pregnancies. Now, it's only gets like really severe in like 1 to 3% of pregnancy. And when I say really severe, right, like it is not fun. Like you can lose a lot of weight and have to be put on a drip, but also it's generally fine. Like morning sickness is one of those ones where like it's overall, like, it's horrible to deal with, I'm sure, but it's not something that if it happens, you need to be worried about it in terms of your health and well-being.
No, I do find it strange though that especially in the first 3 months, like, you know, that is when the baby's kind of at its most vulnerable, and you'd think that your body would be like in full hyperdrive to like eat all the vegetables and like all the like, rather than just like, I'm not hungry, I don't want any energy whatsoever, I'm not doing anything else. Like,
well, I mean, that would make sense, but I feel like humans as a species just, we're very bad. I mean, for example, you know, like baby's heads being giant and pregnancy being like, it's just none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, our antenatal person was saying that if we weren't on all fours, we would be pregnant for like 8 weeks longer. Because
if we weren't standing,
if we weren't standing up, we'd be pregnant for longer because it just gets too much. In part, that combined with the giant head means that you need to get it out of there because just the weight on you is just too much. The gravity of it is too much.
It must be so amazing, I think, to, you know, give birth. Not that, I mean, that must be amazing in its own way. I never need to experience it, so I'm not going to think about it too much. What I'm saying is, it would be amazing to give birth and then after that be like, oh, just no weight on me. Just you know, like, just not carrying a whole person around all the time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just a weight off your chest, but...
Well, then you... Yeah.
But then you have to carry...
Then you have to carry the baby.
That's what husbands are for!
And also deal with the general healing.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, I suppose you don't really get much chest joy. But, yeah, sorry, back to
I'm light, but I'm sad, and this thing is screaming, and I need to heal my... whole body.
I mean, that, and that's the thing, I think, you know, I was gonna ask, what do you think causes morning sickness, and I can tie it into what you were just saying there in a second, but do you know what the cause of morning sickness is?
I actually don't.
So, okay, I didn't know either. I thought there was some kind of like really solid answer. We don't actually have a super solid answer. It's hormones, really. I mean, look, if anything's happening in pregnancy,
it's hormones.
So essentially, there's a bunch of different hormones going around your body that are in massive, massive amounts when you're pregnant. And apparently, you know, according to a Cambridge study from 2023, I think this was published around December, so this is super recent, you know, as this episode's being recorded. I think it's a protein called GDF15. Basically, like how much sickness you get and how sick you feel, you know, with the morning sickness, is kind of dependent on how much of that hormone is produced by the fetus and how much exposure you've had to that hormone before pregnancy. So what they found is that actually, if you take that hormone GDF15, you just kind of slowly introduce it to, you know, the prospective mother's body before pregnancy, you can decrease morning sickness through that.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Would that also mean you'd be slightly less likely to have extreme morning sickness on a second pregnancy if you've already been exposed to it?
I imagine so, but I think it could also, I mean, depends, you know, how long after the initial pregnancy. I don't know if it's kind of like you've built up a sort of, not immunity, but you've built up a sort of resistance to it and then that fades over time. But yeah, I mean, this is very, very recent. Again, published December 2023. So, I mean, there's not been much time to have follow-up sort of studies on that and to see kind of like how all this sort of works together. But I would imagine that it's probably not a lifetime sort of resistance to it. Do you know what I mean?
It'd be interesting to see how that affects fertility as well, if that like helps or hinders, because surely that's a different hormone that your body wouldn't normally be producing at that time that's then circulating. And I don't know.
Yeah, you'd be like the toad.
Yeah.
Where you just, maybe it makes you make loads of eggs.
Yeah.
You lay loads of eggs.
I think this is a hormone that's produced by the fetus. So I think it's not actually, so because it's not produced, say, by the sort of pregnant person's body, I don't know if it's actually got a massive role in terms of sort of fertility and whatnot. Because obviously, you know, once, when you're pregnant, you've got a whole bunch of hormones that are basically like, okay, no more fertility right now. We're switching gears. And we're doing something else. We're growing baby.
No, of course. But I think where Rebecca's coming from is that if it's produced by the fetus, then it might make your body think it's already pregnant. So it might reduce fertility.
Yeah. I mean, oh gosh, it could.
We don't know.
I don't know. But I'm going to go home and Google that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'll have a look right now. But I don't know the effect that it would have. I think all I've seen is that it's been suggested that it would, that it could be used to sort of, that it could be used to sort of limit morning sickness, but obviously it's not enough time to be tested, really. It has a role in regulating inflammatory pathways. So I think it's already present in your body. Yeah, it's a protein that's already present in your body. I think it's probably higher in a fetus because it's developing or something along those lines. But yeah, morning sickness. There's some things that put you at higher risk, having twins or more, vomiting, severe sickness and vomiting in a previous pregnancy. There you go. I should have just read my notes, Luke. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, not getting morning sickness for one pregnancy doesn't make you necessarily less likely to get it the next time. I think it's probably just you need to build up the resistance kind of on the lead up to it. History of migraines or headaches, if it runs in your family, or if you felt sick taking estrogen, if it's your first pregnancy, if your BMI is 30 or more, or if you're experiencing stress. Because stress makes everything worse. Well, that is pretty much everything on morning sickness. Yeah, that's pretty much everything on morning sickness. Now, folic acid, what do you know about that, if anything?
It is very important in pregnancy, and they tell you to take supplements.
Yes, that is very true. I've never even been pregnant, and that's one of the things that I knew about it. If I see that, I'm like, oh, somewhat. But do you know why? do you know why it's important?
It's something about the development of, especially like the spine or brain or. Is it?
You're spot on.
Yeah.
The neural tube, if you have it, it can help prevent any sort of issues with the brain or the spine. Literally exactly what you're saying. So the neural tube is the bit that it sort of specifically helps develop. And the neural tube basically is what forms the brain and spine, or the sort of precursor to the brain, the early brain and spine. Yeah.
Do you remember things that I read? I always think I'm sillier than I am.
Well, I'm glad that SciGuys can help make you feel smarter. And if you want to help yourself feel smarter, subscribe to our Patreon. No, I'm joking, but do. That's pretty much everything I've got on the physiological changes. Is there anything that you wanted to add personally about that sort of topic, or anything else to do with the pregnancy?
You were saying how it is just bonkers. Like, you can put it scientifically and rationally and explain how it all works. But, like, it was funny. We went for kind of an early scan with like a specialist, and even she was, you know, she's been doing this for years, and you know, I was kind of ogling at how amazing she was, just going, this is, I'm like, how are you telling this is incredible? And she was just like, yeah, I do this all day every day, and I still can't believe that we grow humans.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah. She was is amazing.
It feels like something that, you know, if it was in a sci-fi movie, you'd be like, this is nonsense. Oh, what? They just grow more of them inside of them. Nah, not buying it. It just feels... It's like you were saying, look, it feels like Alien. It genuinely feels like Alien. Oh, gosh. Is there anything that you want to add, Luke?
Well, okay, this doesn't really necessarily fall anywhere naturally into the podcast, but I did want to share this story, which I was told literally yesterday. We were at our antenatal class, where you like learn about, not antenatal as in antenatalism, antenatal class, where you learn about what it's going to be like to have a baby and give birth, etc. And there was a lady there whose sister... They'd done the scans. So we were talking about this sonogram they do, right? Ultrasound sonogram. And they had looked at the heart and the brain of their baby. And they said, there's a hole in your baby's heart and the brain is not growing properly. We recommend you terminate this pregnancy. Mm.
And
she,
they were at 20 weeks.
Right. So they were at 20 weeks. And she said, no, I'm not going to terminate this pregnancy. And the kid was born, and yeah, he has a small hole in his heart and it's totally manageable, but his brain is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. And he's really happy and he's like super healthy. And obviously that doesn't mean that that's always going to happen. If they tell you something might go wrong, you know, do listen to it and do consider it. But that was just like mind-blowing to me, that we would terminate a perfectly happy, healthy baby on a guess of what might be going wrong. And then we turn out to be wrong. Like, I think that, like,
yeah. Always get a second opinion.
That's just crazy. I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with that is that it's really difficult to gauge. Do you know what I mean? I think the and always get a second opinion. Definitely, I think that it's just such a, because there's so much going on, and because, you know, that period of sort of growth, it's mental. It's insane. You know, you've got stem cells that are growing into every single part of the body. I mean, like, really, I don't think we consider this. And if we could all, everyone listening and watching, take a moment to really consider the fact that every single person you know came from, like, two cells, one big one, one little one, they join together, and then they start dividing, and somehow that makes a whole entire person. It's mental, right? And so, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of guesswork involved there. And it's almost like, I think, trying to predict the weather, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Wherein you have the starting conditions, and the farther out you go from that, those, you know, from these sort of starting conditions, the less accurate your sort of estimation can be. And the same with, like, sort of, you know, the growth of a fetus. Like, yeah, there are sort of markers, there are things to sort of that should be happening at XYZ time. But also, you know, it is a point wherein things are kind of volatile, things are growing rapidly, things are changing rapidly. I mean, like, you both know that week to week, the changes are insane.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the other thing I want to quickly say, by the way, because I didn't know about this before we went for our first scan and it was absolutely magical, is that they can use the Doppler effect to listen to the baby's heartbeat. So it's not just like putting a stethoscope on the belly, or like listening to it manually through the belly. They use the sonogram and they use the difference in how quickly it's been reflected back to listen to the heartbeat. And you can see on the screen, oh, the blood's moving away from essentially the camera, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it's called, the ultrasound machine. The blood's moving away here, and that's highlighted in either red or blue. And then when it's moving towards you, that's highlighted in whichever one's not red or blue. And I just thought that was so magical. It makes it so much more real that you can not only like hear the heartbeat manually, but like see the direction of flow of the blood. I just thought that was really cool.
It is mental. Yeah. I genuinely think we could do another entire episode on this, right? Like, I genuinely, whilst doing this episode, I was like, okay, how do I want to play this? What could we do this episode on? The reason I focused on the sort of physiological changes is because, one, it feels a little bit more scientific, and two, it's not what you'd usually see. I mean, you can go to the NHS, they've got like a play-by-play, here's what happens every week. Everyone knows, you know, about the placenta, the amnio, it's all the sort of stuff we learn in school. But they leave out so much in school, so much. And, you know, we could absolutely do a second episode on this. So, guess I'll be having a kid soon. You know, for round two.
Special guest. My surrogate.
Oh, the science of babies. That's a good one. We'll do that.
Well, we're going to do, we actually haven't told this to Rebecca, but we were hoping we'll do eventually a Sci Guys episode where I just have our baby with me. We'll blur the face. And then Corey teaches me about the baby whilst I'm holding it.
Oh, that's really sweet. Hope she's well behaved.
Well, she'll probably be better behaved than Luke. Anyway.
It's true. And she'll get more of the answers right too.
Well, she'll probably retain more as well, right?
Hey, that's not fair. She's got a new brain. I got lots of stuff up here. Not much room left.
Well, that is pretty much everything. There's just one thing left to do. It's a quick for a quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Pregnancy edition. Rebecca's looking terrified. She doesn't know.
Oh, do I have to be involved?
Yeah.
Oh. The rules for the quick for a quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
They are the favourite parent.
Ooh.
I don't think I want to play a role in this, but I guess I have to. So, Luke, what are your buzzers?
Wah.
Oh, that's what I was going to go for. Oh.
That's a very long buzzer. Well, what I was going to go for.
I'll just go for, well.
That buzzer almost wins it on its own. Okay, so my question for you is, how long does pregnancy last?
Well.
Rebecca.
266 days.
Oh, wow. Spot on. That was, you know, wow. Yes. Well done. Can we get a little round of applause? Like, I mean, I was going to take like the 40 weeks and stuff. Yes, good. It's nice to have someone who retains what was said at the start of the episode on the show.
Can I just say, wah? Because I lost. I am not the favourite parent.
You'll be hearing a lot of that very soon. But that is all from us. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons, with an extra special thank you to executive producers Glitch Rabbit and Rev Lunar. And thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe to new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment. Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and I guess on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at Not Corey everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
You can follow me at Rebecca Hansen on Twitter and at Rebecca.Hansen on Instagram, because somebody got in there first.
Not salty at all.
I really hope you don't come across that other Rebecca Hansen. I don't want to see what would happen to her, but that is it. Goodbye.
Bye.